it under the first covenant. For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For in every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of calves and goats, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, "This is the blood of the covenant that God commanded for you." And in the same way, he sprinkled with the blood both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. Thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Let's pray. O Lord, as we look at this passage of your word, of its truth, to be illumined to us. May your Spirit work in our hearts that we will see what you would have to say. Lord, may my words be true to yours. And Lord, may we, as your people, carry out the things that you require of us. As we look to you in faith, knowing that we cannot make it on our own, but just being thankful for what you have done in sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. Enable us then to live a life of gratitude for you. A life of gratitude, but also a life of hope, looking forward to being with you for eternity. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Robesons, you'll notice, are missing from us, and they're in Alaska. And one of the things at Stephen and Terry's house for the last 3 months has been a countdown on the blackboard on their dining room, or their kitchen dining area. Wow. And they were counting down to the day when they would finally leave. They were eagerly waiting for that time when they could go and spend time with family in Alaska. There was anticipation there. There was an eagerness there. There was a looking forward. There was a hope that something great would take place. There was also preparation. There were many labors that went on in order to be ready to go. Their thoughts were directed. Well, we have something to direct our thoughts. And, you know, it's not right here now, so we often don't think about it. But we need to think about where we are headed. This passage talks about that. It talks about an eternal inheritance that we have. It talks about a death that redeems for us. And it talks about eagerly waiting for that time when the Lord will consummate his kingdom and bring us into his presence. So let's look at these three parts of this passage. First of all, an eternal inheritance. Note verse 15. Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. the mediator of a new covenant. That's what Jesus is. Talked about Moses sprinkling with blood for the old covenant. Jesus came that we might have a new covenant, and He is the mediator. He is the one who stands between, and He is still there for us in heaven after He has made the way for us to come to our God. This should give us perspective. We have an eternal hope. It should give us a perspective on all that we see in life. C.S. Lewis, in a sermon, The Weight of Glory, says, "If we consider the unblushing promises of reward and the staggering nature of the rewards promised in the Gospels and here, it should seem that our Lord finds our desires not too strong but too weak. We are half-hearted creatures, fooling about with drink and sex and ambition when infinite joy is offered us. Like an ignorant child who wants to go on making mud pies in a slum because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a holiday at the sea. We are far too easily pleased." We are far too easily pleased with just the things of this life. We need to look beyond. We need to look at what God has for us. But then anticipate it. Prepare for it. Do the hard labor that it takes to be walking on the path to where we are going. Look to that eternal glory that is waiting for you. We have a mediator of a new covenant, one who will take us into His presence. We have a promised eternal inheritance if we continue to live for Him. Live as those who have a future and a hope. How do we obtain it? We obtain that future, we obtain that hope, we obtain that eternal inheritance simply by trusting in the sacrifice that Jesus Christ has made, the death that He gave that redeems. So let's look at a death that redeems. Now read verses 15b to 26. The writer of Hebrews is comparing the old, the Mosaic covenant, with the new, the covenant ushered in with Jesus. And as we look at these parts, there's something that is necessary in order for the covenant to be established. Necessary for us to see God's kingdom. We'll see what that is. I'll start in 15 again. "Therefore, He is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant." A death that redeems. "For where a will is involved, the death of the one who made it must be established. For a will takes effect only at death, since it is not in force as long as the one who made it is alive. Therefore, not even the first covenant was inaugurated without blood. For when every commandment of the law had been declared by Moses to all the people, he took the blood of the calves and goats and water, with water and scarlet wool and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself and all the people, saying, 'This is the blood of the covenant that God has commanded for you.'" Now, the blood of the bulls and goats was not going to save, but it was a picture of how God would save. And that's what the writer of Hebrews is trying to bring across to these people who are trying to go back to the old ways. They pictured the true way to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The covenant was not made without blood because there was going to be blood that was required, and that was the shed blood of Christ. Verse 21. "In the same way, he sprinkled the blood, both the tent with the blood, both the tent and all the vessels used in worship. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins." Because God had the way. Right from the time of Adam's sin, we see that God was preparing His people, bringing them back to Himself. He gives the promise to Abraham, and He says that He will carry out both parts of the covenant. He gives the covenant with Moses that has this issue of blood, because the blood sacrifice needed to be made. And that was made by Jesus. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins, and we had the shedding of blood when Jesus died on the cross. Verse 23, thus it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Why was the need for blood? Adam and Eve were created pure, but Adam sinned. From that time on, sin brings judgment. Sin brings death. We need to be redeemed. We need a plan of redemption, and that's what God gave. God's plan to redeem men from that sin involved death, and involved eventually the death of his one and only Son on the cross. The covenant with Moses foreshadowed that. It was a type of that. But Jesus came to fulfill all that God had. Christ has given the true sacrifice in the true temple. All of the earthly rituals foreshadowed what he would do. They were a copy and a shadow. Now the better sacrifice has been made. That better sacrifice has been made once for all time. Now we remember it, as we will today, by eating the bread and drinking the wine. We remember it over and over again, but we're recalling that one sacrifice that Jesus made for us. He gave his life for us, and it's a death, his death, that redeems, that buys our way into heaven. It takes us back from where we were, deserving of death, and gives us life in him. We can now look forward to standing before our God for eternity because of what Jesus has done. And we should be eagerly waiting for that day when we will stand in his presence. Notice verses 27 and 28. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. It is appointed for man to die once, and then comes judgment. Notice the parallel. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin. He's already done that. Not to deal with sin, but to save. With the judgment, we will stand before our God. It's appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. We're appointed to die once, and then stand before our God. And then, if we're standing in the righteousness of Christ, he saves us. He takes us in. We are allowed to enter his presence because of what he has done. He will consummate the salvation he has given to all who trust in him. This is talking about that final time when he takes us into his presence, when he ushers in the new heavens and the new earth. He saves us, and we are with him for eternity. We should be eagerly waiting for that time. Now, when we're waiting, you can wait in a number of different ways. You can wait for a concert to start, and there you're just sitting there. You know, have you ever experienced that? And then maybe it's a little late, you know, and you're just sitting there, like sitting on your hands and waiting and waiting and waiting, doing nothing but waiting. I don't think that's the waiting that God has in mind for us. It's not sitting on our hands and waiting around. More like climbing a mountain. You ever climbed a mountain? you start out at the bottom and you go through many things. You have to be climbing. That's the idea of climbing a mountain. You have to be climbing. You have to be doing the work. You have to be going. You're eagerly waiting for that time when you break out on the top and you see this top and you get up and you can see all around you. You're eagerly waiting for that time. But in order to get there, you have to do the hard work in between. You have to be taking step by step, climbing that mountain. That's more like the picture of our eagerly awaiting the time when Christ will take us to be with Himself. The fact is that He has given us a work to do here in this world, and we need to be engaged in that work, being His lights, being His letter to the world around us, so that they can see His truth. If the kingdom was full, He would already be here. So it's not. There are people out there in your world that you rub shoulders with day by day that need the gospel of Jesus Christ. As you live your life, eagerly await, eagerly wait for that time when He will consummate His kingdom. When He will take us and bring us to Himself and will stand in His presence for eternity. But in the meantime, know that He's given you a life to live for Him. Kieran shared with me another C.S. Lewis quote. This is from the book, The Weight of Glory. It is a serious thing to live in a society of possible gods and goddesses, to remember that the dullest, most uninteresting person you talk to may one day be a creature which, if you say it now, would be strongly tempted to worship. That's after they've taken on their glorious self in heaven. Or else, the other side of it, a horror and a corruption such as you now meet, if at all, only in a nightmare. The fact is, there will be a judgment. It is appointed to men to die once. And after that comes judgment. Those who don't know Christ will be judged, and they will be in a place you don't even want to think about. Those who know Christ will enter into His presence for all eternity and share in the joy that comes from living in a righteous society unlike ours for all eternity, experiencing the presence of God and experiencing the wonderful fellowship of the saints around. What a difference! Think about that now as you're walking around dealing with people. C.S. Lewis goes on. All day long we are in some degree helping each other to one or the other of these destinations. It is in light of these overwhelming possibilities, it is with the awe and the circumspection proper to them, that we should conduct all of our dealings with one another, all friendships, all loves, all play, all politics. There are no ordinary people. You have never talked to a mere mortal. Nations, cultures, arts, civilizations, these are mortal. And their life is to ours as the life of a gnat. It's short. But it is immortals whom we joke with, work with, marry, snub, and exploit. Immortal horrors or everlasting splendors. The things of this world will pass away. The things of this world will not last. The people will. The people will in one place or another. It is appointed to man to die once, and after this comes judgment. If you're judged through the righteousness of Jesus Christ, you will enter into a glory that is far beyond our imagination. If you aren't, then you're going to a place that no one would ever want to go. But the people with whom you rub shoulders are destined to one or the other. Be a light. Be one who shows the truth that Jesus has paid the penalty for our sin. He has shed the blood. He has had the death that redeems. The death that buys our lives. We trust in Him. Take that message out. Declare it to those who are around you. Live as those for whom the sacrifice has been made. Eagerly await the time when Christ will come again and make all things new. And live as those who have a future and a hope, sharing it with everyone you can. Let's pray. O Lord, we do thank You for the sacrifice that You have made for us, for the life that You have given for us. Enable us to live our lives for You in anticipation of the wonders that are there before us. Lord, give us a burden to share Your light with others. The wonder is that You are still waiting to fill Your kingdom. Lord, use us that we might declare Your truths, to show what You have done for us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.